Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is Wednesday, the ninth?
It is the ninth.
Joined once again with Brad and Wade, as always.
As always. How you doing, guys?
Not as always. Sometimes one of them.
Pretty much as always.
As usual. As most of the time.
Most of the time.
Public notice. This will be another explicit podcast, so you've been warned.
Run away,
fucking deal with
children.
It.
Right.
Ooh,
hello.
There it is. We are doing something a little different tonight, so hopefully our quality is just as good, if not better, than previous. But we're just going to give something new a try, and we'll see how it goes.
Perfect.
There we go. All right, business is out of the way. Now about some pleasure.
Ooh, hello.
It's $19.95 an hour.
How was your weekend?
Here's your Visa, MasterCard, or American Express, please.
We prefer Visa or MasterCard. American Express charges more.
No discovery.
Yeah. Hell no discovery. How was your guys' weekend?
How was the weekend? The weekend was not bad. Went to the movies, myself, my daughter. And we saw The Good Dinosaur.
Aww.
We will...
It looks so cute.
I've got a couple kind of... I don't want to say mixed feelings on it, but a couple points that we'll talk about when it's due.
Sure.
Aside from general errands running around, a little bit of aggravation on Sunday.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do go on. Go ahead.
Are you sure? You want me to?
You're on the clock.
We're on the clock.
The doctor's in.
We're officially on the clock. Well, fucking Fox is a fucking pile of shit. If anyone was up on us with Facebook and Twitter this weekend, they will have seen that Fox, in its glory, decided that two-thirds of the way through the Seahawks-Vikings game, they decided that that game was no longer worth watching and forced all the viewers to watch the 49ers-Chicago game.
Seahawks were winning.
Yes. I'm not a 49ers or Chicago fan. I could care less about that game. But apparently Fox feels that I needed to watch a game I didn't give a shit about.
Okay, so but part of the problem is you're a Seattle fan living in Southern California. Of course it's going to get preempted by a California team.
Okay, but how many fucking channels does Fox have? Like 12? They can't air their fucking games on separate channels?
No, apparently not.
Fucking
so
assholes.
So I've got one up for you.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, I'm curious.
I'm a Colts fan, now living in Atlanta.
How's that going for you?
Yeah. So, we signed up for DirecTV, and part of the promotion, well, there is no cable, so it was either Direct or Dish. DirecTV has a partnership with the NFL. So, part of our sign-up promotion, whatever, was we got a free season of NFL Sunday Ticket. So we could watch, and it's billed as you can watch any Sunday game, you know, blah, blah, blah.
That we feel like televising in the fine print.
So this is the interesting thing. Last Sunday, I go to the NFL Sunday ticket channels, which are up in the 700s, and the game's not on. Turns out they only broadcast most of them. Unless there's a local broadcast as well, in which case you can't get them on Sunday Ticket. You have to go to the local channels. Ours was actually being, because it was a late game, it was an 8:30 start.
Oh, wow.
So it was the only primetime game, so it was being shown on the local channels. It's a promotion, but in theory, I'm paying for you to show me football. I don't care if it's on a fucking local channel. I'm paying you to show me football. When I go to the football channel, show me the fucking game. Sunday Ticket is not cheap.
I bet it's not. So here's my issue with the whole Fox situation, though.
Yeah.
The fucking description for the channel was not NFL football, whatever game we decide to show you.
No.
The description was... Seahawks versus Vikings. Yep. The entire fucking time slot.
Yep.
But we decided two-thirds of the way through that you don't need to watch the Seahawks game anymore and missed a beautiful 53-yard pass for a touchdown. Game ended like 38-7 or some crap.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they did it.
Would have been nice to watch that. The Seahawks doing well, finally, for the first time in the damn season. And they're like, oh, you don't need to watch that. You don't need to watch success. Here, watch this close game that no one scored for the last hour.
Great. Okay, but that's why they did it, right? The 30-7 or whatever the score was. What'd you say it was?
The final was 38-7, I think.
Okay, so that 38-7 game, it was so one-sided, it doesn't get views.
According to Twitter, it was getting plenty of views because there were plenty of people who were pissed the fuck off that they couldn't watch their goddamn game.
Yeah.
So,
I hear you.
There's that. How was your weekend aside from your that shit?
Apart from the football troubles, my weekend was stressful. Had a friend's wedding to go to that I was in with all the various stresses and delights that go along with that. So, wedding rehearsal was Friday night. Saturday morning, we get up to go to the wedding.
It's raining.
No, it was actually a beautiful day. Was walking out to the car, realized we forgot something, ran back in the house. On the way back out to the car, my phone vibrated. I went to grab it out of my pocket. It caught on my t-shirt and dropped onto the concrete floor, screen side down.
Oh.
It was a gorgeous spiderweb background.
You don't have Gorilla Glass on the front of the screen?
No, I didn't. It will be going on this paycheck.
it's a little late for that now, isn't it?
Well, no, I got the screen replaced. Apple does do screen replacements. That was not an expense that I wanted to have, but...
would that run you?
I have the latest and biggest iPhone, so it's $149 to get it replaced. Which, considering it's a $950 phone, I guess in the scheme of things.
I mean, it's not a $950 phone. It's a $950 get-you-to-pay phone. But $150, I mean, $150 is not unreasonable. I've seen prices for about $100 here and there for different phones that were smaller.
Yep.
So,
yeah,
it doesn't sound
it's a lot of
too
glass.
Extreme. Yeah.
But, you know, it was one of those things. It wasn't just cracked. I mean, it hit with that horrible wet smack sound that just...
That's when your heart sinks. You're just like...
Yeah,
oh.
Pretty much. So I picked it up and there were little tiny... I mean, we're not talking huge chunks, but little tiny chunks of glass missing. And when I... The screen still worked. I got to give them that. The screen still worked. The touch functionality still worked perfectly. You'll have to excuse the bloody fingers from all the glass shards, but...
have you seen that commercial?
That commercial's funny as shit.
No.
There's a guy who's got a broken screen, and every finger's got a bandage on it, and every time he goes to slide the phone, he's got one pinky left, he goes to unlock the phone, and he winces because he cuts his finger on the broken glass.
Nice.
Yeah.
It sucked to play Angry Birds, I can tell you that.
Well, that's your one fault. You're playing Angry Birds.
Yeah, or Candy Crush.
That was the universe going like, screw you.
But so took it into Apple to get it replaced. They replaced the glass but couldn't get the new screen to calibrate.
Nice.
So I ended up with a whole new phone out of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
So... Rocking
Excuse me, I need
phone.
To go drop my phone.
Right. Well, yeah. On that same note, my mom, she decides that in her divine wisdom, not that she ever has her phone with her anyway, decided to lose it on Saturday.
Oops.
So, yeah. But there's still a few places that we kind of need to go dumpster diving in our trash can, thinking that it might have fallen in there. But, you know, she went and got a new phone today, so I'm sure she's going to spend the next, 2 months downloading apps and configuring everything.
Yeah, it takes a while to get it set back exactly how you want it.
Yeah.
Did she change? Well, and see, not meaning to be rude, but she has an Android, right?
Yes.
Is there an easy way on Android to transfer, like, your main site? Like, with iPhone, I did a backup, and when I restored it to the new phone, it doesn't matter if I go from a 5 to a 6 or a 5 to a 6S, even between versions, it restores all my settings. There's a few little tweaks here and there you have to make, but it's my settings back the way I like it. Is there a way to do that with Android?
I think they have some sort of a cloud functionality. They also have a really easy-to-use app that you can transfer data from one phone to the other if you have the original phone.
I was going to say, that doesn't help much for losing the phone.
There's also another one, another app that we use that she has an old iPhone 4 or 4S that had all of her contacts and whatnot in it. And she was able to use an app to transfer that through a specific Wi-Fi signal to the new Android. So okay. She was able to retain majority of her contacts, but all the other stuff is MIA because of the other phone.
Sure.
There are ways to back it up, whether it's to the cloud or to your own sort of computer or storage system, but that's not something that she was particularly keen or regular doing. So,
and anyway, you can't do it after the fact.
Yeah, it's a little late now.
What'd she end up getting?
The Note 5.
Note 5. Galaxy, yep. Right?
Galaxy. Or Samsung. Samsung Galaxy Note 5. It's just the Note 5.
Yeah.
Not Galaxy.
Well, as far as Android phones go, I've heard the Samsung ones are nice.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, they're better than that fruit company.
Pear.
Yeah, the new Pear system.
Yep.
Wade, what about you? You've been quiet-ish.
Quiet-ish. No, I only had one day in terms of weekend. I'm actually having my second day now. It was just a bunch of domestic stuff, really. Just Christmas shopping and haircut and stuff like that. So, errands aplenty.
Errands aplenty.
Never ending.
Well, very good.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's the truth. Shall we jump into some movies then?
Movies.
We've got one primary movie to talk about this week, and that is what everyone will eventually call the Moby Dick movie, because no one's
you
gonna
know
remember,
it.
No one's gonna remember this fucking title, and it is
I don't remember it.
In the Heart of the Sea.
Yeah, no idea.
It's the Moby Dick movie.
It's just gonna be the Dick movie.
No, that's a whole different genre of film.
That's triple X rated whale.
Say, whereas this is rated PG-13,
it's a bunch of
that other one
naked
is
men
yeah, not suitable.
Hunting a whale.
So this is directed by Ron Howard, with the featuring none other than Chris Hemsworth, also Benjamin Walker, Cillian Murphy, Ben Whishaw, Tom Holland, and others. In the winter of 1820, New England's whaling ship Essex was assaulted by something no one could believe, a whale of mammoth size and will, and an almost human sense of vengeance. The real-life maritime disaster would inspire Herman Melville, right? That's the author of Moby Dick? Yeah, Moby's his book, Moby Dick. Duh. How about I just read it? All right, I'll do that.
Stick
that
to the script,
only
dude.
Half, yeah, but that told only half the story. In the Heart of the Sea reveals the encounter's harrowing aftermath as the ship's surviving crew is pushed to their limits and forced to do the unthinkable to stay alive. Braving storms, starvation, panic, and despair, the men will call into question their deepest beliefs, from the values of their lives to the morality of their trade, as their captain searches for the direction of the open sea and his first mate still seeks to bring the great whale down. There's been pictures floating around of Chris for this movie because he dropped a ton of weight. Like freakishly thin, unhealthy thin type of dropping weight.
Which I've Chris? Always,
I heard that he always... Chris Hemsworth, a.k.a. Okay. Thor.
Thor.
I heard he was only operating on like 500 calories a day so that his body could more or less degrade throughout what they were trying to show in this movie. Not unlike Tom Hanks in Castaway.
Although I always see those pictures and just be like, that can't be healthy. I mean, there's one with Christian Bale.
Yep.
Which is like Batman to like a starving zombie to like a lazy fat guy. It was like, this could not be good for you.
No, it's not, but it is the cost of their trade.
Legs. Yeah, I mean, it can't be great having the body fluctuate like that extreme that often. But there's definitely some stuff floating around if you take a look.
That's why we do podcasts, folks.
That's right. Note the lack of cameras. There you go. So, anyway, yeah, there's... Go ahead and Google it. You'll find a couple, and it's pretty extreme. That's really the main movie coming out this week. There's a couple other limited releases. Also, one we didn't talk about last week that was on a limited release was, I believe it was MI5. Let's see if I can find the actual... Nope, that's not it. it's about a British Secret Service, but none other than Kit Harington is in it. For those of us fans of Game of Thrones, that would be Jon Snow. So I always like seeing what those actors are up to. In the box office this week, we have The Hunger Games holding on to number one at 18.9 million. Krampus pulls in 16.3, putting it at number two. The Good Dinosaur at 15.3, and then Creed at 15 even. So that's what's going on. And for those of you living under a rock, next week is the big week. The only week, some would say. That is...
What week?
The Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens release.
You know, somewhere in a galaxy far, far away.
Somewhere in a theater right around this corner. A movie you've been waiting for 30 years. A real sequel.
Anyway. We'll see. It remains to be seen.
And speaking of Star Wars.
Yes.
I have it under good authority that although many diehard fans who are familiar with the Darth Jar Jar theory has been put to rest. It says, breathe easy, Jar Jar Binks will not be in Star Wars The Force Awakens.
That's the that storyline died.
He felt the Force Awakening, so he went into hiding.
That's correct.
He's like, nope, I'm out. I know what's going on here. The Jedi are returning. Oh, wait, wrong one.
It's time for the Empire to strike. Wait.
So, I mean, for those diehard fans who are familiar, there was a whole backstory on the potentiality of Jar Jar Binks being a Sith Lord. And it sounded like, with little interviews here and there, that was something that George was kind of had brewing in the back of his mind as something that he was working on. But because of how much the fans hated the character as it was introduced, they had to scrap that line and introduce characters like Lord Dooku and General Grievous. So,
He's gone now. It's a new hope. Oh, God damn it.
What you did there? I see that.
Although it does seem that there's going to be a return of the Jedi.
Oh.
No?
No.
I already did that one.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're late.
I was reading headlines. I was working here, folks.
It's about sure. damn time.
Although that was punny. So, yeah, in the movie, so we talked about what's going on. I did go see The Good Dinosaur. Some interesting things with The Good Dinosaur regarding the animation. I know I criticized some of the art types of regarding what they did, and I stand by that. The dinosaurs were still extremely cartoony, which is even more apparent by the sheer realism of the landscape that they did with this movie.
Maybe they were doing that deliberately.
I'm sure they were, but it just didn't feel right, you know? Like, it's like when you look at a movie and the resolution's just off on certain things, you're like, okay, that doesn't quite fit there. It was a lot like that. The realism of the dirt and the sky and the plant life and the mountains and the clarity was fantastic. And you throw this extreme cartoony-shaped creature to interact with it, it just was weird to me. I praise the ability to animate the landscape that they did. I guess I just don't understand the mindset behind it.
Sure.
The movie as a whole, with the storyline and everything going on, extremely cute. I do recommend watching it. It was entertaining. I didn't realize this, but Sam Elliott, for those of you who don't know, has been in a bunch of crap. He does the voice for the Ram commercials now. He was the original Ghost Rider in the Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider movies. He was worked in the graveyard. Anyway, he does a voiceover in it. Anna Paquin, for those of you fans of True Blood and X-Men, she had a voice in it. So little things like that that are kind of fun to pick out here and there. But it was fun. It was very entertaining. So no regrets there. I guess I'm just not intelligent enough to grasp the mindset behind the decision making of the animation style. That's all.
The contrast was distracting.
It was to me. Yeah. Jeffrey Wright did the voice of one of the characters. If the name doesn't ring a bell, he was in Casino Royale. He played the CIA agent at the casino table. Going through IMDb here real quick. Steve Zahn. He's been in a bunch of kind of comedy stuff. He was in the movie Sahara with Matthew McConaughey. So, to name a few there.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Okay.
And since Wade didn't go see it, he has no thoughts.
I can't say anything.
And I have no thoughts either.
Perfect.
I'm thoughtless.
Well, we know that.
Wait.
Thoughtless. You have no thought. We are without thought. And we have been without profanity for like a good 30 seconds, which is unfucking believable. Moving on to news, I think. Yes? Yes.
Let's do it. On to the news. Well, in keeping with the entertainment theme, especially the sports-related entertainment theme, new numbers released recently have shown that ESPN is facing a loss of viewership. They have been resistant, as have most of the cable and broadcast industry, to embrace internet-based streaming.
Distribution?
Distribution, yes. That's a good word for it.
Thank you.
And so far in the last 2 years, they have lost 7 million subscribers.
Ouch.
As more and more people cut their cable, as it's called. Now, this isn't a huge loss to them. Well, it's about 7%. They topped, their peak was 99 million U.S. subscribers 2 years ago. They, in their recent filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission, they reported that they are currently sitting around 92 million.
I can tell you, if our company was down 10% from last year's numbers, there are people shitting bricks.
Yeah, pretty much. So, obviously, we on the podcast are big fans of internet distribution.
Yes.
I don't think it should be exclusive. I'm not saying that we need to completely move away from traditional cable distribution. There are people now, such as myself, who have a hard time getting a decent internet connection and will still need to rely on traditional distribution methods. I don't think it should be a complete switch. What I'm saying is, and what we've been saying is, make it available. Not everybody wants to have a cable TV package. Internet's fine. Just let me stream the channels that I want to. I'm even prepared to pay for it. I'm not asking for it to be free, although that would be nice.
I guess this goes back into, like, you know, let me stream the games or the team that I want to watch. I'll
exactly.
pay for it just yeah. so I can stream the games that the games I want.
Yeah.
So you don't cut it in 2/3 of the way through.
Exactly.
And we miss a great pass.
I have a team that I like to follow. Let me pay you the money, take my money, and let me watch the team I want to watch. Now, ESPN does find itself in a very interesting conundrum. And that is that it's, in an effort to ensure its own business, it's locked itself into a very tricky contract.
It's pigeonholed itself.
It really has. Its contract with most of the networks, you'll notice that ESPN tends to be carried in the basic cable lineup. And it negotiated hard to be in that base package, so it got more subscribers, therefore more money. However, that contract also states that should it decide to do its own independent online streaming, it voids the contract and all the cable distributors can kick it out of the basic lineup.
Oh, interesting. I mean, good on the cable companies for covering their ass, but
yep.
I mean, you're going to get more and more people cutting cords like we've done, or like we talked about a month ago, about people that have never had a cable, had a cord to cut, essentially. They've always, you know, we're getting to the generation situation, you know, the break where people will never buy cable, and there are people that never have.
Yep.
And I think, you know, it goes back to a couple other things, moving away from ESPN, but on the same topic. I don't understand the whole bundle situation. I mean, I understand it, but I hate it.
Sure.
So, you know, like, I want to get FX so I can watch Walking Dead without having to pirate it.
Yep.
Or acquire it through friends.
Watch it while at friends' places.
Correct. Yes. Have to make special arrangements to watch the show I want to watch.
Yes.
But I don't want the other 80 channels that come along in that package. I just want FX.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the world is getting to a point where if these cable providers, these, you know, broadcasters need to get to a point where you need to be able to offer a pick your channel plan.
Sure. You
know, for $10 a month, you pick 10 channels, you know, that you want or whatever. You pay by channel. Or, you know, and not by package, because otherwise they want like $75 a month for me to get whatever package I need that happens to have FX in it.
So, write down the date, because in a rare defense of cable channels, it's not usually their fault.
No, it's not. It's the companies that own the channels.
It's the companies that own the channels, and they force the bundles because it's a monetary thing, right?
Yes.
So I can produce a show for Discovery and know that, you know, 100 million people are going to watch it. Meanwhile, I can produce a show for, you know, what's one of Discovery's lesser known, you know, maybe Animal Planet. And I'm only going to get 500,000 people watching it. So it's the profits of the one that subsidize the shows on the other. And that's why they're bundled.
No, and that's why I said I get it. I just don't like it because
correct,
it is that way. FX and like TNT and
yep.
ESPN, they're all owned by larger companies that
mm-hmm.
have all these subsidiaries, essentially. I mean, you can treat each channel like a subsidiary if you want.
Yep.
And they pretty much say, well, if you want one, then you've got to take all the rest of this too.
And you have to unsell them to the customer as a bundle.
Yes. That's what I mean. If you as a customer
yep.
want to watch The Walking Dead,
mm-hmm.
you need to buy the bundle that has all the other channels that are affiliated with that so that we as a broadcasting or content creator can make up our money for this stuff, because otherwise we won't. At least that's the message they're saying.
Yep. Well, I don't think the cable industry, cable distributors are exactly innocence in all of this. You know, obviously they have great lobbying power and they'll throw their weight around when it's beneficial for them. So I don't hold them blameless, but most of it's on the content creation and distribution side.
Yes.
But no, I agree with you. I think, you know, I would like an a la carte, as they call it, cable lineup, because to get the channels that we wanted on satellite, we have 500 channels. I don't know.
Yeah.
An ungodly number of channels, of which we watch, you know, three.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous. Let me have Home and Garden Television and BBC America and, you know, the local channels. And I'm pretty well good there.
Yeah. So what we do is that we get the local channels, which is pretty much free anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We pay for the premium channels for HBO, and we also get, I think, Stars and Encore with that. And that's it. That's the only channels we get.
Mm-hmm.
We do everything else through Netflix or Hulu, and it covers us pretty well.
I hear you.
So,
the problem with Hulu, though, and we've discussed this before, is their hands are tied by the distributors. And, you know, sometimes there's the delays on getting the shows on Hulu can be ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know how. It's been a while since I've used it. I will add that disclaimer. So maybe you guys are better to comment on, you know, how does it work now? How's it working?
I mean, it depends on the channels. It depends on the networks, really, that allow. Because what we found, at least what we found in the past that we talked about, was if you wanted, say, you're a big fan of Flash, and that's distributed on the CW. Well, they may only have on their website available a couple of episodes, and in which case, sure, that's all Hulu has access to.
Right.
You know, Hulu doesn't stockpile an inventory content like Netflix does.
Right.
So they're all they are really is a porting system. They port you through, or they acquire the content through the main channels, the main networks, and just make it easier for you to access it. If those channels ever take that stuff off of their library, their streaming library, then Hulu will not have access to it.
And I understand that. That part was not confusing. I guess my question was more, and I should have been clearer with it. Part of the problem I had when I did subscribe to Hulu, which again, disclaimer, is 5 years ago, something like that.
Yep.
It's now longer than that. 6, 7 years? I don't know. It's been a long time. Because the content creators / distributors control everything, you know, there were episodes that got 7-day delays before you could watch them. There were episodes that got 24-hour delays before you could watch them. I had a couple episodes of a show I was watching had 30-day delays.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, we only watch a couple of episodes, I dare say religiously, but on a pretty regimented, rigid schedule, rather.
Okay.
And those are typically available next day.
Okay.
But where our Hulu usage is not a regular thing, or at least we're only hunting really for one or two shows on a regular basis. Otherwise, we'll just search for something that we can find.
Sure.
And then at that point, if we're looking for something to watch, we'll typically go to Netflix and just browse that library.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Like I said, the most frustrating thing, I could deal with a 24-hour delay, that's fine. The 7-day delay was kind of annoying, but, you know, whatever. The annoying thing, and I blame Sci-Fi for this, the annoying thing was when they would change it mid-season. There was a show that I was watching where the episode came out with a 7-day delay. The next episode came out with a 30-day delay, but the third episode came out with a 7-day delay. So I could watch the third episode 3 weeks before I could watch the second episode. That was like the final straw for me. And I know it wasn't Hulu's fault, it was Sci-Fi's fault, but still, the fact that they jerked it around so much, it's like, yeah, why am I bothering?
Well, and like, we've tried to go back and watch old episodes of certain shows to get caught up, and they'd have like episode 1, episode 7, and episode 20 mm-hmm. or something. And that's all they'd have. Or they'd have the last 3 episodes of a season. But if you didn't watch the whole season, you weren't, you know, you couldn't get up to speed. You could only watch the last, you know, few episodes because they've cleared the cache of what was available.
Yep.
So. I mean, it's better than having nothing. It's not perfect by any means.
Sure. I mean, I understand that we're bitching about conveniences and it's not mm-hmm. convenient enough. I get that. That's not lost on me.
Yep. Agreed.
But.
Well, let's move on. We've been beating this up a little bit.
Well, yeah. That's what we're here for.
Beat up on it.
It's what we do.
That's what we do.
Well, then continue. I'm not stopping you. Iron-fisted. Somebody do something. Come on.
All right, then. Well, speaking of things that aren't perfect, earlier in the week, the 2015 Video Game Awards were shown on Twitch, and to no one's surprise, but to everyone's great happiness, Metal Gear Solid 5 won the open world sandbox action adventure award.
I didn't realize it was sandbox this year or this version.
I think it was more like open world, but you know, whatever.
Okay.
One thing though, the game's creator, Mr. Hideo Kojima, was barred by Konami from accepting the award, but not even just being at the event.
He wasn't even allowed to set foot in the building because Konami said, fuck you?
Konami lawyer said, nope, you're not allowed to be there.
I didn't realize Konami owned the rights to the fucking awards hall.
No, but they own the rights to his participation in events involving their games.
Is he still an employee of Konami?
There's been a lot of speculation between that some have been saying that he's been fired, the other saying it's an extended break. There has been pictures going around, one of them of Mr. Hideo holding up a glass, you know, pretty much looking like he's saying sayonara. If anyone knows what that means.
Yep.
But people are saying, oh no, it's just an extended break party. It's like, okay. So no one has really come out to say whether he is no longer with the company or is just on a long hiatus.
Has it been publicly said why there's this tension?
Nope. Like I said, neither Kojima or Konami has spoken about the matter.
Weird.
Yeah.
Awkward.
In anywho, Kiefer Sutherland, who voiced the Venom Snake in the game, accepted the award on Mr. Kojima's behalf.
Oh, I didn't realize Kiefer did the voice for Snake.
Venom Snake. Yes, I think Solid Snake, I think he's referred to as like Big Boss in this.
Okay.
So, I haven't played it, I'm sorry, but you know, there's a lot of other stuff I'm getting
to. For those who, the name Kiefer sounds familiar but isn't ringing a bell, he played Jack Bauer in the 24 series. He was one of the vampires in Young Boys? What was that old vampire movie? He was also in the movie Pompeii with Kiefer, or with Kit Harington. Bleh. So.
Wait, they were in Pompeii?
In the movie Pompeii.
Well, yes. Thank you, smartass.
Yes, they were in the movie Pompeii.
Huh. I never did see that movie, but it looked interesting.
I would recommend that if you did see it, that there was at least a time, right when that movie came out, of a pretty decent documentary on Netflix about Pompeii that is worth the watch. Gives you definitely some insights into that culture, that kind of Roman, but... you know, kind of separated from Rome, culture. Sure. That Pompeii had. Really, really advanced, even by today's standards, from a class system. They had slaves, but they were more paid servants than they were legitimately slaves. There was an ownership involved, but you as a slave could work your way to freedom and success. Right. And become a master yourself, so to speak. There seemed like a lot of mutual respect between the people, at least from the documentary's sake.
Okay.
Worth watching.
Mm. Anywho, going back, because we have the line, a saying, well, let's see if I can paraphrase it for us. This issue has been steaming for months. We're talking about the issue between Mr. Kojima and Konami, in which a string of disappointments follow like Konami products closing down, and the removal of the Hideo Kojima game header for the box art, I'm guessing on Metal Gear Solid 5.
Probably.
An uncompleted chapter of the game never seeing the light of day, and finally Kojima promoting the game. Tending his resignation from the company following the completion of his obligations promoting the game. So, there's still parts of that where it's like, is he gone? Is he not gone? We don't know.
Hmm.
And it's been an up and down stream for the past months. Konami, for their part, has steadily become a shadow of their former selves, foregoing development on actual video games and shifting their focus onto mobile game market and pachinko slot machines, which we don't get down here. So,
boom.
Interesting.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. Let's not make things that make us money. Let's work on mobile games and pachinko machines.
To update you, Wade, Kiefer also did the voice of Big Boss. So it's Venom and Big Boss.
All right. There we go. The more you know.
And in Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, I don't know if this is a different version, but it was Snake, Classic Snake, and Raiden. So there's the Phantom Pain, and then there's also Ground Zeroes.
So Mr. Kiefer was pretty involved in the series then.
I mean, the last two versions, I don't know if one was like a DLC or whatever, but yeah.
It trying to see sounds if he like did he any was. Other ones. IMDb.
That's what I'm looking at. just in Metal Gear Solid 5, so.
It'd just be really nice to get a confirm whether he's not with the company, because like they're acting like he is, but there's still rumors that he isn't.
Yeah, they're saying that he is, but they're not involving him in anything that would warrant his involvement, it seems, publicly.
Is he able to speak about it, but he isn't, or is that he still with the company and not able to speak about it? Yeah. We don't know. It's hard to unless someone says something, we can't say.
I agree. It's all speculation at this point. In a little bit of celebrity news, we don't typically do this too much because, you know, we don't like to play into the hype of some of the gossip that floats around. But this is kind of an interesting, comedic, but also kind of weird story. Norman Reedus, one of the big stars from The Walking Dead, was at a fan convention where he regularly takes pictures with fans and whatnot. He plays the crossbow-wielding Daryl Dixon in the show. And one extreme fan was in a zombie garb and was able to take a picture with Norman. And according to her, lost her mind and turned and bit the actor on the chest, apparently. It's unclear if she broke skin. But it definitely was beyond just a show bite or a nibble. It was like a semi-serious bite. She has since been escorted out and pretty much banned from any convention going on. So security rushed in and restrained the woman, forcing her to leave the convention and forego her remaining photo op tickets. The actor's off-screen persona is a little more level-headed than his violent-prone alter ego. But he had posted a picture thereafter. Not sure if it was part of the show or not, but he's wearing a sleeveless T-shirt, and on it says, "Don't bite me."
Nice.
Let's see. The fan wrote, "Finally got to meet the love of my life and got banned for the rest of the con and lose two more $100 photo ops with him because I lost my mind." Grover captioned a photo of herself and Reedus, according to Perez Hilton. "I got so excited standing beside him, I just turned my head and bit him. I don't know what came over me. It wasn't my intention to hurt him. I'm sorry, Norman." If you're going to meet a celebrity that you like, keep your teeth to yourself, maybe?
Probably a good plan.
Maybe a little word to the wise. Looking out for you.
You know, that actually might be a good plan regardless. I mean,
yeah, just in general.
Just a good rule
people,
of thumb.
Just to people in general.
Yeah.
Don't bite people.
Don't
what the hell?
Bite me.
Jeez.
So
people do
can,
crazy
you can
things
suck
with
me.
Celebrities.
You can suck me, but don't
Jeez.
Bite me.
I had to get that one in there. We were missing.
You know,
some of
you
it.
Might like it. I don't know.
Yeah, but let's gradually work into that. Let's not just jump right in there. You know,
it was a little fast.
It's a little abrupt. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're moving too fast. I think we need to slow down. I think this relationship is going to hit a brick wall when you bite me.
You know, I think it shows restraint on the celebrity side that all they did was throw her out.
Well, I think he was asked if he wanted to press charges, and he said no.
Okay, but that's my point. He could have.
He could have. And you know, she would be definitely facing some other shit.
Yeah.
But I think as aggressive as it may have been, I think that he was smart enough to read that there wasn't necessarily malicious intent behind it. You know, it's not like she brought a knife in and tried to stab him, you know. But, there are celebrities out there that if you were to even touch them, they are going to be quick to calling their lawyer and making sure you pay up.
You imagine trying to, bring that defense in if that was against? Well, I just lost my mind charging at him with a knife.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But, I mean, from what we've seen, I mean, he's always been a really cool guy. I mean, if you even kept an eye on his Twitter, he's just great. And I've seen pictures of him with, drummers of bands, just, you know, arm over the guy's shoulder, just hanging out. It was good. He's always a cool guy, even though he plays a crossbow-wielding badass.
Well, he's kind of a selfie junkie, too. I mean, every convention he's at, he's always taking selfies with, you know, showing the con, you know, the panels and whatever that he's at. He seems like a pretty genuine dude, but... Yeah, I don't imagine what that'd be like, just being up there doing photo ops with people and someone just decides to turn and try to take a bite out of your arm or chest or whatever.
Om nom nom nom.
Tasty.
Speaking of tasty.
Were we?
We alluded to it.
We did allude to it. Are you guys familiar with the company Monsanto?
No.
Why does that sound like a drug ring?
Well,
or a cartel.
It is kind of a cartel. It's
the Monsanto cartel.
It's a genetically modified. Goodness, what's the best way to describe this? It's a company that creates genetically modified products.
Okay.
For instance, they do corn. They do cotton.
Sure.
That kind of thing. There have been allegations throughout the years that they're essentially mob mentality, you know, mob boss kind of thing, bullies in the farming community. If you grow Monsanto seeds, they essentially own you, and if you don't grow Monsanto seeds, they will bankrupt you.
So I was right. All right.
Pretty much. So, they will get their day in court. They're not any American court, by the way. They are facing a tribunal to be held at The Hague in October of 2016, where they are facing charges of ecocide.
For those who don't know, that is the destruction of the ecosystem.
Yes, recognizing ecocide as a crime to guarantee the rights of humans to a healthy environment and the right of nature to be protected. They will be considering whether reform of international criminal law is warranted to include crimes against the environment. They're charging Monsanto, or alleging that Monsanto, with their practices, they're reducing biodiversity. And flooding the market with this genetically modified seed, which apparently is more expensive to produce, requires more maintenance, and is apparently responsible for depletion of soil and water resources, and can be tied to species extinction, as well as the displacement of millions of small farmers. According to the statistics here, take it or leave it, I'm just reporting what is here. Where was that statistic?
We're good journalists. We don't try to make up the news, we just tell you.
And then you can research it for yourself. That's in the last 20 years, apparently the Monsanto's policy on genetically modified cotton has driven some 290,000 farmers to commit suicide due to bankruptcy because of their bullying tactics. Yeah, that's just in India.
Nice.
So they have a huge lobbying arm. So any of the local, there have been numerous trials brought against them in the United States that just mysteriously tend to get thrown out on technicalities.
It's because they can afford to hire good lawyers, apparently.
Yeah. Yep.
Thou who hath the money shall win in court.
Pretty much. So it's very interesting that this is going outside of the U.S. now, seeing as they apparently cannot get a trial inside the U.S. without mysteriously being dismissed. And now it's going to the International Court at The Hague. And rather than just small-time stuff, they are being tried, or the tribunal will be hearing charges of ecocide, which I imagine would be pretty, severe.
Yeah, I think in this day and age, they got to take that pretty seriously.
I would hope so.
It's like anything with the word, or the ending with side is pretty...
Yeah, that's usually not a good thing.
Homicide, genocide, civicide. Pesticide. Yeah. I mean, pesticide's a good one. I mean, it's a common term we use, but think about, what you're really saying. Mm-hmm. So it's,
Well,
good stuff.
Should be able to hold up on that.
Yeah. Hopefully that's something that comes of it. Where are we at on time?
We are at 52 minutes in.
Fantastic. Do you think we can squeeze one more in, or should we wrap her up?
I think we have time for a short one.
Okay, Wade, you got something quick and dirty you can flood us with?
Certainly.
He's good at quick and dirty, I've heard.
Yeah, ladies. Anyway, are you guys familiar with the game studio Double Fine, headed by the, in my eyes, once former legend Tim Schafer?
No.
I've heard the name. I can't place it, but I have heard the name.
Okay, well, he created a game by the name of Psychonauts. It was widely held as a very, very good game. It has now come out that he is trying to crowdfund the second Psychonauts, aptly named Psychonauts 2. Unfortunately, this comes in with quite questions. Due to the last game he tried to kickstart or crowdfund, which was Broken Age, which didn't go so well when, even after meeting the goals, he hired big voices. One you probably won't know who is Masa Moyo. I'm sorry if I got that wrong. It's MASASA MOYO. So look her up. I don't know what she's done. Probably a lot of Asian things. And Elijah Wood,
okay,
which you would know as Frodo.
Yes.
So he kind of blew his budget on that one into where he had to release the first half of the game to fund the creation for the second half of Broken Age.
Okay.
So there was people were being a little skeptical on this next Psychonauts 2, which he is crowdfunding on fig.co/campaigns/Psychonauts2. Link is in the description. As of right now, it has 14,159 backers and is at $2,244,014 raised out of the $3,300,000 goal. And that is pretty near the same goal as the Broken Age, which was at, I think, 3.14 million.
Can I say that I have a problem with this?
You can't say it.
if you're a successful video game developer, creator, publisher, whatever, the fuck are you crowdfunding shit for? Like, the whole point of having a studio and a company is making money and turning more product to make more money. If you're making your money and then getting your fan base to fund even developing the next product, like, not cool to me, you know? Like, if it's somebody who's doing something out of their backyard or, you know, a small, you know, group of people trying to get up and going, okay, GoFundMe, Kickstarter, that kind of stuff, great. But if you're a successful business person and you're just like, well, I don't want to put out any capital on my own, here, you guys fund the project and I'll just work on it, fuck you.
It's finally, and like, if that was the occurrence and they wanted you to pay for the product afterwards, to buy the product, it's like, no.
Well, so even if you fund the project, you don't get licensing deal?
I don't see any, what's it called? Actually, there are backings here, but we don't have enough time to go through it. You guys can look it up. Obviously, I said, well, there is a digital download for a 33 backer, but that is sold out. Yeah. You guys can look up the rewards. It's, like I said, on the show notes. Link is on the show notes. And I'm looking at this picture here where Tim Schafer is pretty much pointing at me. And it's kind of funny that I don't see Broken Age behind him. It's like, I don't want you to remember this game that I screwed up on.
Okay, so the $33 is the minimum pledge you can get in order to get the digital download. There's a $39 pledge, $69, $100.
No, there's a $10 you can get a digital download.
$250.
Well, that's Second Hots 1, sorry.
Yeah. So $33 is the cheapest one for Second Hots 1 and 2. All the higher ones come with that, along with additional perks. So the next level of donation that's still available or funding is $39. And there's currently just under 5,000 backers for that. And I don't see the quantity for sold out.
The campaign ends on January 12th at 1 p.m. 2016.
So a full year. So the campaign is going for a full year.
No, should be a month.
You said it ends 2016.
Yeah, January 12, 2016.
Oh, January 12th. I thought I heard like December 12th. And I was like, what the fuck?
No. No.
I'm sorry.
Holy shit.
No kidding.
Pay attention.
I try sometimes. There's been 60 backers at the $800 mark, 10 backers at the $2,000 mark,
Jesus.
One backer at $5,000. I'm sorry, that's 6, 7, 8... 8 backers at $5,000 apiece, 2 backers at $10,000 apiece already.
And this proves I am in the wrong business. Yeah. I can have people pay for my work.
You do.
You kind of do.
No. how do I say this? Pay for me to do this. If you don't, I don't care. I won't do it then.
Yeah, but I'll take
give
your,
me the
I'll
money
your,
to do it.
I'll take your money up to a point, and if I don't get to that point, then I'll just take your money. I don't know if that's how it works or not.
You will only be charged if this campaign reaches
hit.
Its goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right under the Get Rewards program. So it is at 68% funded, and it's 33 days left on the campaign.
Fantastic.
So.
All right. So that'll about do that then. Well, hopefully this episode was quality wise up to standard. It seemed to work okay for us at this point. Do let us know what you thought at Facebook or on Twitter. Hit us up facebook.com/abundance.not. Twitter always at abundance.not. Look forward to hearing your feedback.
And I've always got my ears open on my Twitter, which is God, wow, I can remember that. AAON or at AONCWAL599. And as always, keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.